We've fulfilled our promise to come home for one final episode of the Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. I'm your host, Aspiety, and joining me today we have the wonderful Biscuit Dough and the enigmatic Pepe.
Hey, you?
That was a very... That was quite an enigmatic introduction. excellent.
I wasn't here for when you guys did that.
For the final 30-second recap, we're having our good man Biscuit Dough take it off once more.
In this week's episode, and the finale of Charlotte, Yu goes to save the world without even saying bye to Ayumi. Ironically, this episode is his struggle to maintain sanity and a sense of purpose with a great Zien song playing as an insert track. But he makes it out alive before almost dying to fake courage that he took from Naga's ultimate lolly. Now shares our relief as the series comes to a close.
That was a very short recap. Wow. That was like 20 seconds.
Ultimate lolly.
Should we start by talking about her?
The ultimate lolly?
Yeah.
Courage-chan. We don't even have a name.
Courage-chan. Best girl.
Best girl.
So, I feel... I honestly did not like the appearance of the courage ability in Charlotte. It's not because of how it was used, but because of how it represents courage as an ability. Because I did put my post on the forum and I wasn't expecting to talk about it here, but I think it takes away from the actual courage that we gain by ourselves.
I think that feeling that way is legitimate, but I also think that it's easy to understand what the actual intent here was and why it's there because of exactly what you said, right? Because you have to remember that obviously the powers are a disease and they cause lots of problems in the world, so thus they must be dealt with, which is why like Yu is kind of like our Jesus and he's just kind of taking all the sins from everybody.
Okay.
And so like, for example, whenever they show this, like this kind of like cements in like my views of the entire show up to this point. Like this is like, for me, Courage-chan was like the actual like... Like, this was the actual crescendo. Like, this was the peak of the series for me. And, like, whenever you find out that there's this power of courage and what exactly is happening in the scene, and he takes it away from her, is because she's putting herself in danger with something that isn't, like, actuality. And he says, like, well, obviously you don't need that because of the actual human trait of courage, which she clearly has because she continues to stand there anyways, even though she's clearly afraid, which is just perfect.
Yeah,
and then the instant that he takes it, he just starts walking away, like, while wounded, and there's a dude, like, with a freaking... Okay, why does this dude have a crossbow, by the way? Like, what?
It's
a fucking weird weapon to have. Anyways, well, he's got a dude with the crossbow to his back, and, like, almost gets himself killed because of it. And people said that maybe this is just kind of, like, a weird hole, and this isn't actually a connection. But I thought it was, because he takes this courage, and then he thinks he's just going to go and walk away because he's courageous, right? So, like, this fake courage is, like, courage is both something that makes you a brave person. It's also something that can make you be really fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could say someone rolling off Niagara Falls in a barrel is a courageous stunt, but it's also kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm. And that's like basically that's basically what they were saying there, is that if your courage would have got you killed in any other situation if you wasn't there to save her, you know.
And it's also about beautifying true courage, right? Just how like powers all of this time have always been like these, it's like been a cheat, right? Ever since baseball, the dude trying to make money that now tells them, you know, stop selling these pictures and start making money in your own way. To take care of things, do things with your own abilities. I feel like that it both beautifies actual human traits and working hard to actually reach a successful goal and thinking about things seriously. Whereas the powers themselves, like I said, it's a disease. It's cheating. It's a very cheap way to go about things. And it reminds me of something like charisma, where, like, a lot of people in this world are just like, charisma's everything, and you can sit there and you can talk a whole lot of talk, and that'll get you really far in the world, right? But it's never going to be the actual thing, which may not be an actuality in the world, even though it should be, which I feel like is an important part of the message. But yeah, it's like I said, it's beautifying the actual human trait.
The reason why I didn't like it is exactly because that's not how I want to view courage. I don't view courage as something that will, like, too much of it will put you in a situation that'll get you killed. I think that's just being stupid. You can be courageous and not stupid.
But what is being a martyr? Is being a martyr not courageous, but also inherently very dangerous for a lot of things?
It's being a martyr is a personal decision that you make. If you want to sacrifice your life, you have to be aware that that's what you're doing, and you have to be aware that you're doing it.
But it's also courageous, is it not?
It is courageous if you decide to do it. If you're not ready to give up your life, but because of stupidity you end up doing so, that's not courage in my perspective. But if you are prepared, if you are prepared to give up your life, then, and you have the courage to do so, then that's real courage right there. And that's why I don't like how they portrayed courage. I mean,
but it's fake. That's not real courage. Remember, yeah, it's the disease. That one's not real. That's a farce.
But that's still how they call it. I mean, that's still how people will perceive it.
That's the point. Because it's wrong. Whether people perceive it, like, a certain way or not does not mean, like, it's actually what it is. It's, like I said, about charisma. It's a farce. It's like a facade.
Like, I mean, the world... Just with charisma, I mean, you can be charismatic, yes, but there are other parts of your personality that you may lack or have a lot of that will build up to that charisma. It's a totally different thing. It's a totally different aspect that... That shouldn't affect courage. It shouldn't affect charisma. It's a personality trait that should be looked at on a separate way. Yeah, I guess in a way you could say that foolhardiness is the downside of the courage power, assuming that the powers still have downsides at this point.
Yeah.
But still, it still left a bad taste in my mouth because of that. And I said it's a very personal thing. Not other, it is funny, other people won't think this way.
I feel like Charlotte's expressing the exact same thing you are, though. Like, the whole point is that they made the distinction between real courage and fake courage, because that courage gets taken away from her, but she still stands there. Like, her legs are shaking, but she still has the strength of her character to stand there. Maybe that's because she borrowed the fake power of the courage, was able to inspire real courage in her, or maybe it's something she had much sooner than that. But,
If that girl was willing to give her life to help save you, and the courage, the fake courage helped push her there, then I don't consider that as foolhardy, because she is fully aware of the consequences and she is ready for it.
Mm-hmm. But when she has the power, that's more of a being drunk on confidence sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's...
And that's why it's a sickness.
So you're drunk on confidence, but you have too much courage. They kind of attach. They attach it too much when I think they should be separate. And I don't know.
So you're
like
saying
I said, it's,
that, like,
it's a personal thing.
Like, the power should have been something more along the lines of, like, fearlessness. I don't know. Anyway. I think what you're saying is very valuable, but I also think that it directly is applied to what actually happened.
Maybe.
Like, I think what you're saying is very true, but I think that it's what the actual occurrence is speaking to.
Like, if it did do anything beneficial, it definitely got me to react about it, because when I first watched it, I couldn't explain to myself why I felt that way. But after thinking about it, that's when I made the realization why I feel that way. And that helped succeed in making me think the way it wants me to think, in relaying the message that it wants to relay, which is good. It just, you know, did it by making me angry, but that's all right.
Well, that's not bad, though, because if you want to ask me what Charlotte makes me think whenever I think about what its actual message is, it fucking pisses me off. Like, do you want me to, if you want me to be blunt, and it doesn't have anything to do with people, like, not also receiving an actual message from it, or people just not liking the actual structure of the show. What the show is actually trying to say, and thinking about it in relation to, like I said before, I feel like it's a message that's going towards a very worldwide issue. It makes me very mad, because this world is a terrible place, when it really shouldn't be.
So, about episode 13 specifically, and not about the series as a whole, a lot of people were complaining about the pacing. And, I mean, whether or not I agree with it, it's definitely something that is a majority view towards episode 13. So what did you guys think
about
the
pacing? Too fast, cool.
Too fast, cool.
Yeah, the pacing definitely was... It left much to be desired. Like, it was... It went really fast. I think... Comparing this to other shows, I definitely feel like this could have been drawn out a little bit better, or at least been more intricately portrayed. I didn't not enjoy it. Like, the fact that it was really fast was, like, I was still kind of, like, immersed in it. Especially because of the super amazing sinking ships playing in the background. But, like...
That was a fun part.
A lot of really, really cool ideas and scenes happened in this episode. Mm-hmm. But, like, they were almost so cool that, like, it could have, like, been a whole episode in and of itself. Like, you could have put this into, like, 3 episodes and it would have been fucking amazing. This and even, different... like, Taka and some other people were saying, like, imagine if this entire show was this, like, the whole time. Like, this show would have been so badass.
Lots of people have been saying that.
And you could have had something so cool with, like, Yu's development in this episode where he, like, goes through, like, an entire cycle because he's, like, going in on this ridiculous quest. This ridiculous quest, like, completely just breaks him down and, like, he just completely loses his sense of self, which is something that he kind of expected going into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
Like, if this is a VN...
So cool.
If this was a VN, this was the terror route.
Exactly!
Like, straight up.
Oh, like, man.
It could have been huge.
My personal opinion on the pacing issue is, like you said, there was a lot of story pacing issues where they definitely could have told the story in a lot more episodes. I think there was... I actually had not much problem with that. My problem was more with the emotional pacing. Like, we didn't really get a chance to feel what emotions you was feeling, what emotions Now was feeling. And that's where I blame the pacing for it.
Especially whenever almost all of it is really important to this episode specifically. Like, a lot of Now's feelings have to do with that long period of him not being there. And we see her, like, once. And, like, you have basically, like, scene after scene of, like, you coming to these, like, realizations, like, when he wakes up in the bed and it's all burned. Like, it's this super cool scene, but at the same time, it's just kind of, like, we get, like, what, a one image to, like, portray what happened, and then we move on again.
Yeah, it's just, like, bang, bang, bang. Oh,
it's
like, I got
super fast.
I gotta steal this power that's being used for good. Bang, conflict resolved. You know, like... That alone could have been in a single episode, a lot of people are saying. You know, the collapse and a bunch of people dying in a building. Nah, let's just keep going. We've got to keep moving forward.
I mean,
rush, rush, rush.
When you think about it, it is something that's huge. Like, you could flesh this out to be like an entire second core. You could make it an entire show. You could do a lot of things with this
idea. A movie.
But they even put it into a movie. Oh man, a movie would have been sick.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It should have ended with episode 12, and this is the movie.
Ooh, that would make a lot of money.
Which again, like, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with the actual like the actual direction of this specific episode here. But it also is just super fast. Like,
I'm kind of at peace with it, to be honest. Like, I've been negative up until now, but, like, I feel like it is what it is. And
it was a good episode. Like, don't get me wrong. It was still really good. Was it fast? Hell yeah, it was. But I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, as far as not feeling emotions for the characters or, like, empathy, I empathize with you quite a lot. I felt like I could feel the, the spiral into madness. It's kind of like, the pace really helped that, because it's like just all these constant like horrible things happening one after another, and it's like you really feel with you, like, oh god, when's this going to be over? You know,
I like how at somewhere in the midpoint, like they actually, like, I was worried that they weren't going to do anything to portray what the actual, like, toll it takes on him having to do all this stuff, because that dude is just nonstop working. So yeah, like the fact that it actually, like, he was just like, that desert scene was absolutely perfect. He's like, what the hell is this?
That voice acting.
Won't someone take over?
Idea.
Yeah.
Who thought this was a good idea?
Had to be in the Arizona desert of all places.
Oh my god. Yeah, that was definitely some, I gotta drag yo stinky ass through this desert.
I really love the image of, like, he's so overpowered that he's just, like, half asleep and lazily slumping through the world, like, you know, left and right, stealing powers, even killing dudes that try to come up against him. It's like, so overpowered that he just lazily...
I don't think he killed anybody.
No, he did. Remember, there was like the scene where he was getting shot at by a bunch of guys and he had his force field and they like released it and the bullets all reflected and it's like, it shows them all getting killed. It's like, he like...
I don't know.
He has a bit of grief over it. That was like the first time he killed someone, I think. So he, like, feels a bit of grief, and then he keeps moving. You know, that's kind of where his spiral went down. I think it was heavily implied that he killed a lot of people.
Oh, okay. Well,
I remembered him catching a lot of bullets, and then he used his telekinesis to, like, throw them into the ceiling. I remember that part.
Yeah, there was that bit, too.
Were there two parts?
Yeah, that was heaps of parts.
I figured that... That was actually something I wanted to bring up, is whether or not he did kill anybody, because I was thinking that would have been a really good thing to actually show, but they didn't.
I don't know why they weren't, like, very specific about it, but, I mean, even with the collapse, like, it's obvious people died in that building, you know?
True. Oh, well, true.
There's plenty of places where I'm pretty sure people
died. And then there was his, I'm gonna try to sleep, and then he wakes up, and there's, like, a news report of some terrible thing, and he's like, oh, shit, was that me? Like, I was wondering if
that was
him just, like, thinking if that was something that he actually did, or whether it actually did happen.
Yeah.
It's heavily implied that it actually did happen.
Yeah, we're kind of left up in the air as to whether or not to agree it. One of the things I really liked about this episode was all of the news scenes and stuff that were playing in the background. Yes. Bowie actually said something about this, about how he was talking about foreshadowing, right? Whereas, like, this wasn't foreshadowing, but this was an absolutely excellent use of, like, background to actually give an idea of, like, the world portrayal.
And cram more content into the episode. As
I said before about, like I said, I feel like this is a world issue. I feel like... Like, in the message, I feel like the fact that they were showing all those news clippings of, like, horrible things happening and children being killed and militants and, like, war and chaos is, like, very, very important for the message, because it's portraying what our world is. Like, when do you not turn the news on and see something terrible on television? Like, literally every hour of the day, there's something horrible.
So once all is said and done, we have you returning home and he has lost his memories and... now proclaims to be his lover.
Can we talk about what an utter failure of his actual return was? Because that helicopter save was fucking dumb.
Okay, yeah, that was bad.
Deus ex Shunsuke.
That was really dumb. Like, that's my big quarrel with this episode. I feel like they needed a way to get him home, but they didn't have enough time to actually figure out what. So Marta was just like, fuck it, helicopter rescue. Like,
Kurishan did say she's gonna go call for help.
Yeah, like, I would have loved it so much more if she actually came back with help and, like, he got hospitalized and then they came and got him or something. But yeah. No, we get...
That would be more realistic.
I'm just like, what? What the fuck is this?
It's not like they have their powers anymore, I'd assume, so...
Oh yeah, that's actually a good point. When did he take the powers of everyone in Japan? We didn't see him going to Hokkaido, to Okinawa, to everywhere else in Japan.
He went to the whole world, man. He'd have to come back to Japan at some point.
He got it somewhere.
So maybe he... Yeah. I don't know, maybe he went back to Japan, talked to them a bit, then went back off. I don't know. It's too much figure out.
Who knows? Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, he manages to get home.
And then we have, the scene there. I'm still trying to get my feelings together about this, but I don't like the sudden turn from now going from ha to I'm your lover.
And that's where I think the pacing fails. We weren't able to get the feel of what Nao really thought while Yu was gone.
I have no idea.
All we got was one picture of her at night listening to the music. What I got
was that what exactly that he was doing, you know, kind of taking the world on his shoulders. I feel like that's something that I do believe that that's something that would click with her.
Yes, I was going to say that last episode.
But the other thing that's weird is that, like, the actual portrayal was not very good, and this is another execution issue, because while I believe that, I'm kind of upset. This is one of the few times that I'll actually say this about the series. I am upset that I didn't actually get to see more of this, because, like I said, we got one scene of her, like, sitting there listening to her music or whatever.
Yep.
And it was like, you can tell... I would understand that in his absence that she would then be able to come to a bit more come to terms of her actual feelings, right? And be able to, like, maybe she does form a longing attachment, right? And I would believe that. Like, that's completely believable. However, the fact that we don't really get to see it was kind of like, it made the actual scene itself kind of fall flat.
Yeah, that removed all the impact that it might have had.
Like, the idea is perfectly sound, but the execution is bad.
I still wish Charlotte didn't have romance.
I still wish Charlotte didn't have romance.
Yeah, just... I would have liked it more if she was just happy that her friend came back.
Oh. Yeah. They could have just been friends, you know, and made that promise to come back home as friends.
But at the same time, they do have to start at point zero here, because you have to remember that you lost his memories. So, like, whenever he says that, she's just like, who are you? Like,
did you also lose his powers, though?
Hmm. Probably. Well, like, his brain is, like, baked from all the powers and stuff, because you have to remember that powers are directly related to brain functionality. Yeah.
So probably they're rendered in unusable, yeah.
So his brain is probably like potato right now.
Oh, now he's gonna have to deal with that.
One thing that really bugged me about this is we're watching this episode, and logistically, the amount of time would have taken you to go to every single power user and steal their power, that should take years.
I wouldn't underestimate his. He also could like fucking teleport. I wouldn't underestimate the actual power that he has as he's pulling things. He literally could have, like, any kind of ability. So, I felt like it was a very good thing that they made the distinction that he can, like, you know, he doesn't have to sleep, and he can just keep going and going and going. And the fact that he can teleport and, like, get powers without even really thinking twice about it, I think, like, that worked well. What I felt was kind of a weird stretch, but I'm still happy that they actually touched on it, was the whole, like, powers yet to have been developed, where he's just kind of like...
Carriers.
Oh, damn, now I gotta do this. Now that is what's time-consuming. And I was just kind of like, damn, because now he's gotta go back to other places he was going, it's just like, shit.
Yeah,
like, that should have... I thought that would have been a cool point where, like, if they were to go, like, for a more failure-related route where it just wasn't going to work, that would have been the point where if I was the audience, just been like, oh my god, like, this is going to take such a long time.
The more powers he gets, the faster it takes him to finish the job, basically.
Yeah, I still wish we could have got a bigger time skip, though. I feel like I would have appreciated the impact of the ending more if the peak characters were, like, 3 or 5 years older. Would have been cool. But no, no one's aged a day. It's like...
I'd give him a good, like, probably 6 months or a year or something. Like, he's working pretty hard.
At least a year, I'd
say. Yeah. I think he was gone for a while.
Yeah. I didn't feel that sense of, like, time passing in the ending. It just felt like, oh, it's just another day. Which, you know, if it was 6 months, you won't really see that many signs of age.
This is another point where, like I was saying, there's a lot of stuff that, the viewer kind of has to just fill in the blanks and think, like, okay, that's probably what's going on, because it's not really portrayed.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish... I have my own ideas for how that scene could have come up, but, at the very least, I'm glad it wasn't like a perfect ending. Like, we did have you lose all of his memories, and he never got those back.
It's bittersweet, because, like, one of the things I think probably wasn't portrayed as well, it probably could have been portrayed, I thought it was really good, like, the ending personally clicked with me really well. I thought it was great. It's a very bittersweet kind of happy ending, right? Which is why I always say that it's neutral, because Yu accomplishes his goal, so, like, he's able to go back and gain, like, an actual, you know, life now. Like, there's normality. Things are actually going to be able to move forward, and I think now presents that really well with, like, her camera thing.
Except for the bounty on his head, right?
It kind of left that.
Oh, well. Well, I think Shunsuke can protect him well enough, hopefully.
Maybe. Still. It seems a bit weird.
Nichan save me.
Yeah. But I guess you're right. Shunsuke probably has enough power to protect him in that situation.
But anyways,
I guess we should start talking about, like, our general impressions of the series as a whole and everything that's left to this point.
Alright. I guess I can go first.
You go, Pepe.
I have a lot of good things to say and a lot of bad things to say, and they're still very, very far away from each other. Like, I can't combine them into one coherent thought, but I'll start. First, good thing. I loved Yu's character development over the series. That is one thing that I think the series did very well. You see exactly how Yu started off as a selfish asshole. He that got revved up to max and then went down, and he genuinely started feeling empathy for others, and he started learning more about the responsibilities of his actions, which is why I think the crowning moment of that development was when he got the power of healing, and he decided to, no, I will not get the time leap back. I'm going to save this by my own. And that speaks for his development in the entire series.
I definitely agree. I feel like Yu's develop was the focal point of that this series, and they did a really good job of it. Like, going back to the baseball episode, like a lot of people have said, like, oh, this episode's filler, it hasn't accomplished anything. But
bullshit.
This is where Biz comes in.
Bullshit. I already posted it on the forum, like, so much important shit happens in that ooh, pointless baseball episode. Like, he gets the telekinetic power, which is, like, he uses that shit, like, religiously. Like, it's that's an amazing power. That's an amazing power. It's so useful. And then, like, he learns the idea of, like, the powers being a crutch, you know? Like, he learns the idea of actually trying to, like anyone should, actually trying to do things with your own capabilities. They play baseball, and, like, they end up cheating to win. It's just like, yeah, well, you can cheat to win, and you can get really far, you know, being full of shit, right? But at the same time, whenever you're trying to not use your powers and just, like, play an actual baseball team on a whim, you're gonna get your ass whooped, because, you know what, playing baseball is an actual skill, and it takes a lot of time and hard work. Like, people devote their lives to that shit, right? And it's just, like, now a saying about the catcher dude. It's just like, that kid's good. Like, he doesn't need you to, like, help him push him forward. He's going to go far just fine on his own because he's worked hard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It definitely, I feel like that episode
is so good.
That episode definitely instilled some of the central themes, which are especially pertinent in episode 13. With
how it's more of a disease.
Yeah, it gets a lot of flack.
There are other episodes that I disliked more than that, but anyway.
I think the episode I disliked the most was episode 3. Not because of the content, but because of how it was presented. I feel like that episode had absolutely terrible direction, and it just felt very disconnected. Every scene is just like, oh, it had such bad flow.
we're past that.
I just really didn't like that.
Yeah, that was badly directed.
But, you know, even that was setting up Yusa and Misa's character, which, admittedly, I would have liked to be developed more. Like, I feel like they introduce these characters and then never do anything with them until the very last moment, which is sad. Takato never got any development. I was really waiting for his story arc, and it never came.
Here we're coming in with that post-anime. I like to view Yusa and Misa and Jojiro as they're like our rhythm guitarists. Where they're like, they're there as a sense of atmosphere, not as a sense of focus. And I think Jojiro, like, really shines with this, especially with his scene in episode 12, okay. Where, like, there's an actual bromance there. Like, yeah, he's still being silly, but I still enjoyed it. Like, I was just like, yeah, it's Jojiro, right?
Oh, I did like that scene.
That was good, and I was, like, surprised by myself by the fact that I enjoyed that, because I felt like his humor throughout the show had actually gotten kind of stale and annoying, but that was actually, like, relieving at that point. I was like, this is good. And that's why I say, like, he doesn't have a story, but that doesn't mean that he didn't feel very welcome, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Now, he started to change my perspective a little bit. I'm realizing now the error of my ways, because I'm still treating this as a key anime. And with a key anime, you expect characters with character arcs and their own stories that the story will explore. Yes.
Charlotte wasn't really
about that.
No. It's all about you. And a little bit about now, but it's primarily all about you and his journey and what the world is and what's actually happening and the developments as they pertain to him. Like, that is very important. And that is definitely the focus. And I'm happy that a lot of people have at least picked up, like, on the fact that, like Pepe said, Yu's development was brilliant. I feel like that's exactly what the show needed to do.
It's all about you.
And the fact that they devoted so much time to it is good, which is so, like, when people say that they could have devoted more time to these other things or maybe portrayed them better, I'm just like, yeah, but then you would have lost stuff here. Like, this is so important. Like, just that baseball episode alone is, like, there's so much you in that episode. Like, his development in that episode is massive. With other episodes, like, the things that he sees is so important. Mm-hmm. So that's what I say about, like, how Yusa and Jojiro are kind of, like our rhythm guitarists, right? And then, like, whenever you look at the other side characters that didn't really hardly get any development at all, I don't view those characters any differently than I view, like, just a random background, like, NPC or something in a game, or just, like, random characters that might have dialogue. But the trick here is that they're just designed really well. And I wanted to point that one of my favorite things about this series is that Naga's designs are amazing. Like, the character designs in this show are all so good. Like, they're not, like, all wearing the same uniform and stuff. Like, the designs are brilliant.
Yeah.
And so whenever people see a character like Shu or something, not necessarily love interest dude, when they see a character like that and he's got this brilliant design, they think, where's more of that guy? Well, I was thinking, as far as from a writing perspective, I don't think that they had even started writing more for him. Like, I feel like they were just like, all right, we're going to leave this right here. He's just there as a sense of atmosphere and a sense of realism to the show, because you're not going to be able to really understand the events that are happening if you don't actually, like, have a believable environment. There are so many animes that just, like, have no background characters, and there's just, like, here's some students standing in the middle of this mysteriously empty school. Like, even VNs do this shit, where, like, there's people standing in hallways and there's just nothing in the background or in the classroom. Yeah. There's no students in the classroom. It's just, like, it takes away from the immersion. Where Charlotte is, like, you want more, and that's a good thing, right? Because, like, they may not be giving you more, but you're still, like, you're invested and you're in, like, very much intertwined with this actual story, because there's so much actual attention to detail to things that aren't really important.
Yeah, there was so much attention to detail on Nomura's character, Aimee's friend, that I'm like, she's gonna be important, and she wasn't at all.
She's not.
I was totally wrong about that.
It's spitting in our face.
Yeah, but no, I think what Biz is saying is correct. Lot of people get the misimpression, is that even a word?
Misinterpretation.
Wrong impression. Yeah, misinterpretation.
They misinterpret the character designs as indication that those characters will be focus of, like, the storytelling, and that's not necessarily true. I think it's very important to remember that while this is a key anime, it's not a traditional key anime, and it's not just about the characters.
I feel like
if Jun Maeda did say it was a traditional key
anime. I feel like there's a disconnect here where, yes, I think it was probably presented incorrectly. I've come to terms with that. When people say traditional ki, I think that that was marketing, entirely marketing. I don't think that was an actuality. I think when Maida said, whenever Maida was saying things along the lines of, he like kind of waves his hand, oh, it's just ki feels and stuff. It's the same, same old shit. I feel like that was just bullshit.
Yeah.
I feel like
curse that was, you, that, Maida.
I think that was PR bullshit. I don't think that Maida ever intended for this to be like a traditional thing. And people were talking about feels, right? Because everyone has to talk about feels, because clearly that's the most important part of keywork. It's got to make you cry, right?
And well, like, I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Like, I understand that, but at the same time, I feel like it's taking away from what the actual message is.
Sometimes, yeah.
I also don't think that they really planned for something that was expected. I feel like this work was very much intended to be something different, and it definitely is.
You feel like Maida's vision for this series wasn't fully realized?
No, I feel like the idea of it being like a super emotionally draining thing that like makes you cry and stuff was never an intent. And I feel like anything that is there to try to make you cry, I feel like that's just kind of there as like a flavoring, and it's not necessarily the point. Which is why Charlotte is kind of a mixed bag in that it's got this really interesting like message that you can take from it as a viewer, but at the same time, it's kind of got enough little tiny things that the casual viewer can actually watch it and probably still be mostly entertained.
Yes, definitely.
Which proves to be very true, because a lot of casual viewers really enjoyed Charlotte.
I was actually going to point out something that I thought was bad in connection to that. Like, you were saying how you didn't feel... Some people didn't feel enough development with Jojo and Yusa. I personally had a different issue, and that ties into the who feels thing. Like, a lot of the scenes for me lacked impact, and I think there were a lot of direction choices that could have been made to increase the impact. Like, you know, just adding a few more seconds in those dramatic scenes. And I'm not just talking about the drama here. I'm talking about the comedy, the action. A lot of those parts didn't feel as impactful to me.
It's an execution issue that falls really flat from the animation perspective, and I kind of want to point PA Works as kind of failing here. Whenever Yusa reads Misa's letter in episode 12, like, they could have just drawn that out just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, a few more seconds of Yusa actually, like, transitioning from reading to actually being distraught. Yeah. Would have made a world of difference. And another thing that you could have done there is, from directing, and this is just taking from other shows that I've watched that have actually, like, hit me emotionally. If you take a scene like that and you actually, like, you draw it out a little bit, like, I feel like whenever they were reading, like, their storyboard, it just says, Yusa cries, and then read this stuff, like, and they were just kind of like, okay, and then they just do it. It should have been something that is actually directed well and animated well, which would have been something more along the lines of, like, she could read the note and then not actually tell you what it says, and, like, you just, like, transition from her standing there to her crying, and you don't actually know what she's reading, but you know what she's reading, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It almost feels like a lot of these scenes were directed from the perspective that we need to include these crying scenes, otherwise it won't be a key anime.
Not to mention the fact that, like, something like at the end of episode 9 or 10? 10? Was it 10? 10 or 11? Whichever one was the one with the super crazy ending. That fucking transition to the regular ED, like, I would say is, like Asu was saying, I think that is loss of vision and not actually getting what the intent is. I still think that the intent wasn't to be super emotionally invoking. It was just there as kind of like a flavoring. I don't think that that's the actual purpose.
Yes,
however,
I agree.
However, I do think that if they were handled well, they still could have been a much better.
You wouldn't have lost anything if you gave more impact.
Then you would actually gain the favor of not just the casual crowd, but also more elitists would actually like be like, oh shit, like, this was actually really powerful.
Even the comedy, I thought, lacked impact. And I keep thinking of Angel Beats, but I think that had good impact with their comedy. Like, When they shoot people up on the chair in a rocket, that's funny because they hit the ceiling or people get hurt. But then they add the extra thing of playing Itsu Mojito. That makes the scene memorable.
There were two scenes in Charlotte that legitimately made me laugh out loud really hard.
And I can't think of one yet.
One of them was Yusa's fucking disguise whenever they walk into there. That was hilarious. I'm sorry, I laughed so hard at that. Because of the little like the fanfare that plays like da, 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 like so hard.
And the other
one was whenever they played Fallen, whenever Shunsuke is talking to Yumi like, oh, we're gonna take care of you, and like she's like, can I call you, and he's trying to just like completely like record skips. Like, that was pretty funny.
I didn't feel that as a comedy. I didn't feel that part.
It does, because you is just like, damn, that was fast.
Yeah.
Like, what made me laugh was hate me for this, but the use of spit in episode 9, because it was like pointing out to something that was terrible in the previous episode, but then they brought it up again, and I thought that was a good way of adding more impact to that hilarious scene.
Maida loves his repetition comedy.
Yeah, he really does.
You can see it in the chairs. You can see it in, like, in the chairs in Angel Beats. You can see it in fucking Air with the like he really likes that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and that doesn't click with a lot of people. That turns a lot of people off key anime.
I think it's really cheesy, and I think it's funny. Like, I think it's actually good humor because it's so cheesy. Whereas most anime humor is etchy, silly bullshit. Whereas mine kind of does a mixed bag.
Yeah. I honestly prefer that kind of comedy.
My favorite comedy scene was definitely when Nao kicked Jojo out the window. It's just like, what?
Yeah.
Just like, Yusa's reaction was the best part there. She's just like fucking mortified. It's like, yep, let's carry on to Ayumi's room.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yusa's reaction to the group in general was just very funny, I felt. She just like couldn't keep
She's
up.
She's so innocent. She's so innocent. So, if it hasn't been made clear, I like the show quite a bit. More than I expected. Not as much as other things. Pepe had asked me before, like, where I would rate Charlotte in regards to other keyworks, and I would tell you fairly low, if not the bottom. I can't really say because I'm kind of weird on rating things, but it's definitely, it's down there. But that doesn't mean that I don't think that there's a lot to actually earn from Charlotte. A lot of people are talking about, you know, like, the actual issues, and I think that's fair, but like has been determined, there's always just kind of this thing where people will always immediately go for criticisms as opposed to actually stopping for a moment and thinking about, well, wait a second, now what did I just read, or what did I just watch? Like, what is this telling me? And it's not something that is so cut and dry. It's not something that is face value, right? People are taking a lot of Charlotte from face value, and they're just like thinking about the feels and thinking about it as like the standard keywork, right? But they're not reading into what the actual writer's purpose is. Or maybe they are, and they're just not talking about it. Who the fuck knows? I honestly couldn't say. And it's one of the reasons I've been kind of like dancing around it, because I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to say it, and then someone's going to go in, oh yeah, I know that's exactly what I feel, because I just know that that's going to happen. There's going to be somebody who does that. But Charlotte as a whole, I keep saying that it speaks to me as, like, talking about world issues. And people were talking about how, I think it was Days of Summer, was talking about how it's kind of like a coming-of-age story. And I feel like a lot of people feel that that's what the direction was, which is fair, because I think it definitely shares a lot of those goals. And throughout the series, there's definitely a lot of maturation for Yu, right? And a lot of his development, and from becoming just kind of a scummy, low-life kind of kid to actually basically being a martyr for the planet. And basically, like, by the end of the show, I kind of got this feeling that what the show is trying to say is not coming of age, but more like coming of age and what it means to children in the actual world. So whenever you grow up, right, like as you're growing up, you're kind of just being spoon-fed stuff, spoon-fed stuff. And you're just kind of like developing as the world kind of sees fit. You're kind of, you know, put through your school, your mandatory learning and stuff, right?
Back to our Kyosuke again.
whenever something actually bothers you, it doesn't, there's nothing that you can do about it because nobody takes you seriously as a kid, right? So like whenever you're in school and you have a problem and you like go to talk to somebody about it, they're just kind of like, oh yeah, we'll make note of it. And then nothing ever happens. There's no follow up, right? Because you're just a kid, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just something that you have to sit there and accept when you're growing up. Like people aren't going to take you seriously because you're young. It's going to happen. Deal with it. But there comes a point in your life whenever you come to a certain age, like maybe your late teens or your early 20s, when people will start to take you a little bit more seriously because now you're starting to be taken as an adult, right? Mm-hmm. And this is an important part in our life because as we're growing up, we're always being told we're the next generation. But we're always being told to follow in the steps of the generation before us, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not right, because history is doomed to repeat itself if we don't learn from it. So what I feel like Charlotte's doing here is it's talking about like the empowerment that comes as you reach a certain age. And Yu is able to use his developments, and he comes to this age where he's going to actually make something happen, right? He's going to change the world, because there are a lot of people in the world that may be jaded, or maybe they're like it's like the powers, right? And how I keep talking about charisma and things, where people are getting through the world doing cheap things and they're getting through the world being shitty people. Whereas it's very important for us to take that responsibility and work together to actually change things in the world, right? Because the world's mm-hmm. fucked up. So yeah. We need to understand that we're in this, and this is why I say that I feel like it speaks so much to the actual audience of the show, of kind of your late teens that are just sitting there watching anime, and why probably a lot of people just straight up will not take it seriously, because it's directly speaking to you, which is, it's funny that the character's name is you, right? Because, and this is, I thought this was stupid and a stretch at first, because I was just like, that's kind of dumb, haha, you. But then I remembered, okay, wait a second, Maida's a fucking loser, and also Leah posted her blog talking about Bravely You and how that they made an actual distinction of the word you is supposed to be a play on words for the character you, because it's talking about you. That's an actual thing. So I'm just taking it and flipping it the other way. What we should learn from you, who's going to go ahead and throw aside, it's not the same as like Little Busters, where it's talking about the preservation of youth and like taking advantage of these years and then continuing to have that. It's more like gaining our future, right? Like we have to earn our future, because as of now our future is going to be really shitty, so we need to do something about it to set it up so that we can actually like come back to that state of neutrality. You throw away this period of time in your life, because if you're going to make a change, you absolutely have to make a commitment to something. If you're going to be a martyr, then you're going to put yourself in danger, and you're going to throw aside like being able to just sit around and watch anime and have fun, so that you can actually get out there. You can actually get out there and make a difference, and it's going to take time. And whenever that is actually done and it becomes a reality, then you can actually enjoy your life, right? And that's exactly what Now does, where she's able to finally, you know, say, like, now we're just going to be able to make happy memories because we finally did away with this big problem that we had, where there were all these people who were taking advantage of the world and just continue this endless cycle of stupidity, whereas we changed it. We got rid of an important facet of the world that is so negative, which is, you know, taking these powers and taking advantage of the powers and using them for militant purposes and fighting one another. You take that away, and then people are left with just their humanity, which is, like, inherently just a fucking mess. so now they're actually but it's left something. You're left to actually think about it and handle things as you are as a person. Which is why that courage part is so important, you know? That's why I keep saying that courage part, just like it really fucking hammers home what the powers being a disease is it's a mm-hmm. problem. You went out of his way as a martyr and he lost, right? He lost things doing this because he was alone. He was the only person who could do it. And that's the same as what anyone else. There are probably tons of things that only you can do from your experiences that you need to go out there and make a difference happen. And I'm not just talking about other people. I'm the fucking same. Like, there's a ton of stuff that is wrong in this world that I know I could probably make a difference if I devoted my life to it at this point. But I'm probably not going to do it. You know, like, because everyone's got to do it. Because otherwise you're going to lose because we're selfish, right? It's a selfishness message. And, like, people need to band together, otherwise you're going to either not be able to make a difference or you're going to lose. But thankfully we're in the magical, fantastical world of key magic, where while Yu does lose his sense of self and he loses his memories of those happy times, right? Just how, like, we would lose our... Because if we were to devote our time to something, we would not be able to experience those things, right? Is kind of a direct, it's kind of like the way for them to take that away, because he had superpowers and he was able to do things super fast. Like, oh, I could go on forever.
But yeah, like, good. The core of your idea.
The core of my idea is that the message is speaking to not necessarily the youth, but kind of the young adults of the world, to take everything that they've learned and know about the issues in the world, maybe not knowing about superpowers, but maybe some other issue, some cultural issue, and go out there and do something about it. Try to get other people to realize that the world's in a bad place. It's not a message of doing what you should do, as people tell you, but it's more like doing what you have to do, otherwise the world is doomed, right? And yeah, this is a major world topic, you know?
Isn't it amazing that we started from episode one, where Yu is like the most selfish person in the world, and then he meets Nell, who's the person who's trying to change the world, and it's kind of like led him on this path to, on a new path, to make a difference in the world.
And he's empowered by that, and he's able to do that by himself because he gets all these superpowers, right? Like, you could take this development of this story and make Yu like a politician or something, and it would have the same message. Only it's something a bit more fantastical, because it'll connect with anime viewers a little bit better, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's definitely what they were going for. It's amazing, because they've taken this worldly message, and they've been able to condense it into a form that, you know, the anime viewers would be able to appreciate. Maeda said time and time again that, you know, there is a little bit of aspects of this story that have been constructed to appeal to the anime audience, that might be a little bit different to his vision of the audience, who take more time to, like, explore the story, I guess.
Yeah, and it's a double-edged sword, too, in a sense of that he's not only is the show actually structured in a way that just kind of your typical viewer would be able to be entertained by it, but it's also constructed in a way that if you actually read into it, there's a whole lot that's actually trying to be said here. And whenever Maeda kept saying that he really wants people to, like, get it, I feel like that's super important, because he's not out to just, like, people are talking about, like, a money issue, right? Like, oh, he's out to just be popular and make a super popular anime. But, like, every key work so far, and at least specifically Maeda works, with maybe the exception of Hibiki, but even that has some redeemable stuff in it. Like, it's always got a message to us as a viewer to actually, like, gain from. Like, there's always something to gain. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants us to learn from something, or maybe to not take advantage of things. And I feel like a whole lot of the world takes advantage of that time where they're just kind of working and sitting around and doing nothing. Whereas from the Little Buster side, maybe it's to have more fun, but from this side, it's to be more active, which is why I say it's kind of like a key story in that you can read into it, but it's kind of different, Maeda, because he's never really taken this kind of adult perspective.
I definitely gained something from Charlotte, and it's a bit different from what you were saying, Biz, but I guess I'll talk about it in the anthology when I give my recording of what I gained.
Okay, yeah, that's probably good, because we're starting to run out of time. But no, that's really good. Thanks for sharing that. It's definitely given me something to think about for this series and what it means for me. I'm still trying to figure that out, but that's
definitely like, giving just me whenever you think of it with that view and you watch the show, like, you realize how much, like you said, just about how Yu's makes this development from being really selfish and just kind of not really doing anything to actually like making a change in the world.
Because that's who they're trying to address. Like, it's all the people that can empathize with episode one.
I keep like saying that. Do you want to make a difference in the world? That's something that like a lot of people should ask themselves. I want to make a difference in the world through individual people. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make a worldwide change, but I know that I want to change a lot of lives, and the more that I can change, the better, because it's something that I gain a lot from. Mm-hmm.
I'm the same.
So it asks you to throw away something, because you're gonna have to lose something somewhere. You can't keep it all to yourself. That's why I say it's a selfishness thing. You have to throw something away in order to make something else better. Like, you have to take away some of your own happiness if you want to give it to somebody else, in this case.
Yeah, definitely. So in closing, I think we can all agree that Charlotte is far from a perfect series.
Definitely.
It suffers from a lot of flaws in terms of the directing, maybe the structure of the story, but
some
that doesn't mean there
isn't plot points.
Yes, obviously. But that doesn't mean there isn't value to be gained from this series, and I think that's what we really want to encapsulate with this podcast and with the upcoming Charlotte Book Club anthology, is that there is value to be gained from this series if you really stop to think about it.
If I'm any indication, then I think that it's definitely possible to think a little bit more critically from a message perspective in Charlotte. I think there's a lot to be gained from an entertainment side, from one thing. Maybe not as much as what people would expect, but there's also a lot to be gained from what it actually means to people watching it. Like, it's...
Yeah, a message.
There isn't not a purpose. There's definitely a purpose. There's always a purpose to works like these. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's what it is for me, and I want to explain it more in the anthology as best as I can, or just explain it better. And I also want to try to write it up. I wanted to do, like, an analysis of the series and, like, talk about how each episode and each scene kind of, like, connects to this end goal.
Yeah. So stay tuned for the anthology. We're going to be doing a little bit more stuff on the forum, but this is in itself the end of the Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. Pepe Biscuito, thanks for joining me. I hope you've found it an enjoyable experience.
You are very welcome, and thank you for having me here.
Yeah, no problem. And thanks, of course, to all the guests that made appearances on early episodes. Their contributions are valued as well. Shoutouts to Canon, Bowie, Tsuika Shoujo, RPG Caster, Yerian. Yeah, that's everyone. And also all of our viewers for tuning in every week. If you did tune in every week. If you didn't, then, well, whatever. hopefully these podcasts have been enjoyable to you to listen to. We obviously had a lot of fun recording them, and we hope you appreciated some of our different perspectives on this show, because it's been a little bit of a circle jerk, I feel, and I hope the podcast has been able to add some fresh perspectives to things. I feel like that's one of our main goals with the podcast, and I don't know, I feel like we did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, I think we did too.
I'd agree. Now we must look forward to Clannad.
The Clannad Book Club coming up very soon. I'll have an announcement post very shortly. It's going to be very exciting. We'll probably redesign the website and logo and stuff to match the theme, but you can definitely look forward to that. I am very excited to get into Clannad again. It's been quite a few years since I last picked up the visual novel properly and gave it a read, and I never did finish it, so I'm very excited to finally be able to come back and finish the fight and get Clannad read. So of course we'll be having another podcast for that. If you're interested in joining us, then you're welcome to apply in our forum topic. I'll have a lot more details to say about that in the near future, so please look forward to it. Alright, once again, thanks for joining me, everyone. I've been your host, Aspidey, and these are your podcast regulars, Biscuito and Pepe. We'll see you again next time.
Ciao, matane!
Adios!